Amen. Amen. Come on. Give the Lord a hand. No one deserves a hand but Jesus. Amen. Thank God. Man, woman, institutions, organizations, universities don't deserve a hand. Somebody said, if you're against education, you know I'm against education. But everything is according to God. Everything is in God. And it's controlled by God. Amen. So everything that we encounter, church, in our life is according to God's eternal plan and purpose. Amen. Let every heart bow their heads for a word of prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for this your wonderful word. We thank you, Lord, for this message, Father. We thank you, Lord, for everyone here. Everyone that you've caused to be here, Lord, according to your plan and your purpose, even those that are on the way, Father. We ask that you continue to edify the body of Christ according to your will, plan, and purpose. Oh, God, we thank you for the word of God that shall go forth today, Father. Let it bring edification and comfort to your people. And, Father, we thank you for the word of God. We pray for our brothers and sisters all through the internet land, through Africa, the Philippines, all over, Father. Men are going through persecutions, tests, and trials, but we know that all things is according to God. Bless the word of God today. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. What we're going to do today, thank God for everyone here. And we're going to do, we're going to go right into a couple of scriptures. Deacon Gavin is going to be our reader. Now, the scriptures that we're going to look at today is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And in alignment with that, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 3. I repeat, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And then we're going to, in alignment, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 3. While we turn to the scripture, let me just say a couple of things. This has been a very unique week here. It's been a very interesting week. Number one, I was at a wedding. It was a family member. We had a wedding on Thursday. And Let's Keep Brother James Johnson, family, a good friend of my brother-in-law's, they lost their 42-year-old son a few days ago. And they asked me to conduct the eulogy. That was on Friday. Amen. And then, amen, pray for Sister Veronica Seeley. And that was yesterday. And, amen, preaching today. So tonight I'm going home to go to bed early. But, amen. But thank God for the word of the Lord knows how to give you strength, right? And we'll continue to pray for our pastor, that the Lord continue to bless and strengthen him as each day. And thank God for everyone here. Now, what we're going to do today is, first of all, before we go, the handout. Does everyone should have a handout? Okay, amen. Because it's so critical, church, that the word of God be right divided. So let's go right into the word of God. Deacon Gavin is our reader. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul's instructions to Timothy. And Brother Najee is passing out the handout for today. Amen. The handout for today. In fact, it should say the contrast between the Commonwealth of Israel, which is the kingdom message, and the Grace Church, which is the message to the body of Christ. Amen. Deacon Gavin, you may read, please.
We're reading from the book of 2 Timothy, second chapter, verse 15, first from the King James Version. Mm-hmm. Paul writes, "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now from the interlinear Greek text, "Be eager thyself approved to having presented to God a workman unashamed, cutting straight the word of truth."
Cutting straight, church, the word of truth. Church, you better cut this Bible. You better cut the word of God straight. Cut it straight how? What's the criteria of cutting the word straight? Cut the word straight. Divide the word according to dispensations and covenants. Divide the word. Cut it straight, church. primarily time past, but now ages to come. Now, I was a minister on this, you remember, a few months ago, and I felt they had to come back to this because Pastor Cutler's always stated, it's so true, a common denomination of learning is what repetition. And God's people need to be what? Over and over again. Amen. Now, we just read this. Cut and straight. That Greek word divide is cut and straight. What I want you to do, church, now we're not in a hurry. I'm going to take probably another month to cover this. Go to your document. Now, today we're going to focus on the area that caused most confusion in the body of Christ. Now, you see, let's look at the title here. And this is what, amen, Pastor put together a few years ago here. It said, now, we know we've seen the dispensation chart, the seven dispensations. But this one is a division between the Commonwealth of Israel, which is the Kingdom Gospel Church, and the Grace Gospel Church, the Grace Gospel, which is what? The Body of Christ. The Commonwealth of Israel, the message to the Kingdom Church, and the Body of Christ via the Grace Church. Now, if you notice in the middle here, there's a line. Please. I know most of you have a red pen at home. When you get home, I want you to make that line right in the middle, color that red. Because why? You know, red means stop, right? You know, when you drive, you stop red. Red means stop. When you read over there in the Commonwealth of Israel, when you see that red line, stop. Don't try to mix what's on the left with what's on the right. If you do that, you're going to be confused. Now, I can vouch, you would be confused trying to miss these messages. I'm going real slow. I'm not in a hurry. Do not miss the messages. Now, Paul says something very interesting. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 3. Repeat after me while you turn there. If you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, you would be confused. You would be utterly confused. In fact, you'd be so confused one day you think you're not saved. So this thing, you know, you think, oh Lord, I'm going to hell. You read over there in Matthew, Jesus said, if you have an evil thought against your brother or sister, you in danger of hellfire, and all of a sudden somebody rub you the wrong way one day, and you're going to have all these evil thoughts, and the devil say, you're going to hell because you, see, you better divide this Bible. You were saved in eternity. Come on, deep, read, please. Hebrews 1:1-3.
Now we're reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, beginning verse 1.
King James and Greek, yes, please.
First, from the King James Version. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them.
Mm-hmm.
But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world.
Church, notice, synonymous with the rest is synonymous with what? Everything's already done. Rest is in alignment with everything that's already done. Now, go in the Greek. Read this in the Greek, Deacon Gavin, please.
Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, the interlinear Greek text. Let us fear, therefore, lest being left a promise to enter into the rest of him, seems any one of you to have come short. For indeed, we are having had good news preached,
uh-huh,
even as those also. but did not profit the word of hearing those not having been mixed together with faith in the hearing. Verse 3. We enter for into the rest the believing, as he said, as I swore in the wrath of me, if they shall enter into the rest of me, though the works from foundation of world having come into being.
Hey, repeat. It's time for God's people to be at rest. Rest in what? His finished work. Now, in alignment with this, that word when Deacon Gavin, see, the King James did a poor job here. Entering, that's an aorist infinitive. The entering to that rest is a completed work. God has already predetermined who's going to, who, first of all, we have rest in our actualized existence. Every member in the body of Christ has what? Rest. Because we're in Christ. But manifestation-wise, why is there so many of God's people are in turmoil? No rest in their spirit. No peace. See, in the essence of the rest of God, we need to understand that the rest of God is having the cogitation that everything is, has decreed by God, everything is already done according to his eternal purpose. And you can rest in this, and you don't have to stay up all night trying to change God's mind. Because even the writer in another covenant stated that, I'm God, I change not. God can't change because everything is already purposed and decreed. Now, having this knowledge, church, let's share something. Let's move further. Everything entering to the rest is the fact, understanding that the word of God is to be rightly divided according to dispensation and covenants in order to enter into the rest, because you know in our gospel, everything is already been. It's already done. You're not saving time, you're saving eternity. Now, let's move to the comparison chart. Let's move right here, because we want to kind of build some foundation. Amen. You are saved in time and eternity, but not in time. So what we're going to do, and we're not going to finish this, we're just going to go get a few of these today. What you have, church, the left side, let's see some of God's directives to the commonwealth of Israel. And you will see a contrast to the body of Christ. And as you see, if you attempt to go, to move from the left to the right, look at that red line that you're going to cross out to use today. Meaning what? Stop. Let law be law, kingdom be kingdom, grace be grace. Now, one thing Deacon Gavin read about in Hebrews, understand the history of that book. The Apostle Paul, he had a hard job because the Hebrew Christians were trained under the law. Now, what happened? They had the law. Then Jesus, the promised Messiah, he was revealed in the Old Testament, the Savior of Israel, the Messiah, would come to fulfill the law. In other words, no one could keep the law. That's why you had the old law pass away, the new law. In other words, the new covenant. Which Jesus Christ implemented the new covenant. So in the essence of that language, turn from the law, Israel, point to me. Look to me, Christ. So, in the chart here, let's look at some of the directives for Israel. The first one, and everyone has this. The Commonwealth of Israel is a nation chosen by God and sustained by his covenant promises to them. Deuteronomy 7, 6, and 9. Not all individuals identified as associated with the nation are God's elect. See that? Romans 9, 6, 11, 28. Only God knows those who are actually his. I'm going to read the last sentence. Only God knows, church, those who belong to him. Only God. Not man, not a preacher, not a bishop. Not the Pope, only God. Now, let's parallel this to what's on the right. Look to the right. The church is a called out assembly of believers who were baptized, placed into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Every member of the body of Christ is saved. though it is possible there are multitudes that are associated who may not be God's elect. 2 Timothy 2:19. Only God knows those who are actually his. Only God knows, church. Only God knows. Yeah, the kingdom, God called out a nation of elect. Now, what runs parallel? What is synonymous with all dispensations? God's elect. God has elect in all seven dispensations. Amen. Now, having said this, God's elect. In the body of Christ, God has his elect. Now, here's where most of God's people fall off the wagon. In fact, there's a song. I was listening to this on TV the other day. And then there was a song. It's a beautiful song, but it just wasn't scripturally accurate. It says, if you live right, heaven. You know the song, y'all. If heaven belongs to you, if you live right, you know you heard that. By the way, I'm not singing, please forgive me, okay? But it says, if you live right, heaven belongs to you. Somebody said, what's the problem with that? Well, I said, here's the problem. I'm going real slow. Those are words. Look at the lyrics. If you live right, heaven belongs to you. But you know the scary thing about that? Who's ever lived right? Who's ever? Somebody said, Peter, James, John, are you kidding? Moses, are you kidding? Who has ever lived right in this life and lived perfect before God other than Christ himself? See, what they put a qualification there in their mind. They have on the left side all these what they call sins. Hello, church. You know, the adultery, the smoking, the drinking, all these things. And then on the right side, they say, well, I don't do none of these things, so I'm living right. And then when a person's home going, they say, yeah, they live right, so they're in heaven. And a person that are doing some of these, what we call bad things, then doing their funeral, they didn't make it. First of all, look at what we just read. God knows his elect. And his election is not based upon what we do in time. It's based upon what God did in eternity. And some God will cause to imitate Christ more than others. Now, this does not give people a license to just act crazy, do whatever. But you know one thing about the workings of God? The more you learn, you should do better. The more you learn. When I see what God has did for me, in spite of my shortcomings, in spite of my weaknesses, in spite of my, somebody said, you have some weaknesses, don't you? Come on, church. Hello, church. And see, somebody said, well, I don't have any weakness. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Let's pray for this person, whoever said that. Oh, Lord. Like the bishop said some time ago, he was celebrating his 50th. He was out 40 coming up. He was in his arrogant self, made a statement. You know, I love the Lord, and me and Sister Jones been married. No, they were celebrating their 60th. 60 years. And we never had an argument. I said, oh, Lord, my brother said, Lord, pray for our bishop. Pastor, pray for him. You've been married 60 years, and you two depraved people together for 60 years? Come on. Somebody said, hey, amen. You've been married one day of next evening. You don't know when they go down. Amen. It's the grace of God, church. The grace of God. But we have to move salvation out of time. And by the way, again, they're not saying, hey, shall we continue in these things that grace may have done? God haven't brought Paul dead, but heaven forbid. But it's a fact in life, and what's so bad, many of God's people are being beaten over the head because some of them have struggles in the flesh more than others. I talked to a brother the other day for 20 years, love the Lord, but he's been fighting alcohol for 20 years. You know. But he said, let me just say, you know, everywhere I go, they beat me up. I said, oh, brother, listen, the Lord led me to take him to Romans 8:1. He said, what? There's no condemnation to them in Christ. So he's going through the classes and he's doing all these things. But there's no condemnation. And somebody said, well, he's got a problem. Again, what do you have? Everybody's going through something. Amen. Now, but thank God, great is he that's in us and he that's in the world. Let's go to the second one. Second one. Chart, please. Notice. Israel traces its origin to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob being the father of the 12 tribes. The kingdom church, notice, traces its origin to the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. They were first placed into the commonwealth of Israel in eternity. No church, in eternity. Right side. The grace church traces its origin to the church at Antioch, Acts 13, when the Gentiles were called to believe in the gospel of grace. They were first placed into the body of Christ in eternity. Now, church, it's interesting. By the way, Pastor, I was really blessed by this chart here. Amen. Now, let me say this. What do you see? What similarity, church, do you see between the left side? By the way, some of these messages, they are what? They cross all dispensation lines. This is one. In other words, how were the kingdom apostles saved? They were placed in Israel, I heard it, in eternity. How were the body of Christ saved? You were placed in the body of Christ when? In eternity. Well, somebody said, but Jesus said over there, he said, if you be baptized and you be baptized in water, and then shall you believe the gospel, and then shall you be saved. He said, if you read that in that language, it appears to say, if you are baptized and speak in tongues, that you are saved. Church, that's the language of the covenant. That's the manifestation in time. But they were not saved because they were baptized or spoke in tongues. They were saved because they were elected before the foundation of the world. In eternity, church. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. You were saved not because you did so many things in time. But somebody say, good things that God calls you to do. Wonderful. But that was just a manifestation of the workings of God, which was part of your course in life. But that wasn't a criteria for salvation. Take salvation out of time. If you have salvation in time, church, you will never have the, notice, you will never enter into that rest. I'm a proof. I am proof. Had salvation in time, and for a period of time, I was miserable. Right, Ella Cameron? Yeah, she said, yeah. One day, good day, on the Lord, bring on the rapture. Oh, Lord, let the rapture come. Bad day, oh, Lord, please don't let the rapture come. You are a topsy-turvy Christian. That's a bad way to live. Good day, bring on the rapture. Bad day, now here's a problem there. What you call your good day, church, does not lead up to the righteousness of Christ. There is nothing you can ever do that could satisfy his righteousness. But thank God our contract tells us that we are clothed. We have the righteousness of Christ. When Christ looks at you, he does not see your failures, your heartache, your trouble. He only sees you through Christ. That's the good news. Jesus Christ is the good news. Amen. Now, let's look at something else here. If you're looking at here, now, in cutting straight the word of God. Now, there are two areas that cause a lot of confusion in the body of Christ today. For some reason, people will hold on to baptism. They will hold on to this. They say, no, I have to be baptized. What? And I, you know, 2,000 years of Christian, really, 2,000 years of the church age. This has been something that has caused a lot of division. We're going to be been on here many times, but amen. In case some of you were not here when I mentioned this about 3 months ago, we can go here right now. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 12 through 18. Deacon Gavin, please. In your Bible. And we'll come back to the chart after we do this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 12 through 18.
Now we are reading from from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 12 down through verse 18. Interlinear.
Yes, please. Mm-hmm.
From the interlinear Greek text, I say now this, because each of you says, I indeed am of Paul, but I of Apollos, but I of Cephas, but I of Christ. Has been divided Christ? Not Paul was crucified on behalf of you, or in the name of Paul were ye baptized? I give thanks that not one of you I baptized except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that in my name ye were baptized. But I baptize also the of Stephanus' household. For the rest, I know not if any other I baptize. Not for sent me Christ to baptize, but to evangelize. Not in wisdom of speech, lest be made vain the cross of Christ. Verse 18. For the word of the cross to the one hand perishing, folly is. To the on the other being saved to us, power of God it is.
Power of God. Church knows this. Why didn't Paul, you notice he kind of minimized water baptism here. You notice this? Let's look at history, church. Paul, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, died for our sins, right? And he gave Paul the mystery. What's the mystery? The volume of truth. And where is that volume? Romans through Hebrews. That volume of truth that God gave to him. But church, in those epistles, there were, look at history now, there were some people, understand, baptism was part of the law contract. For they moved to a kingdom, still baptism. So when God gave Paul the mystery, there were still God's people that were involved in what? Baptisms. So Paul's job in the message of grace was to move from what? Physical baptism to our baptism. So in essence, but some wanted to, they were hung into what? Physical baptism. And you know what Paul basically stated here? Whoever I baptized, I don't have, in other words, I don't remember. It wasn't a big deal. But why? Because our baptism is unique in that it is spiritual. Deacon Gavin, please, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. What about our baptism, church?
Now we're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. From the interlinear Greek text. For indeed, by one Spirit, we all into one body were baptized, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all one Spirit were given to drink.
We're baptized, church. So if any brothers and sisters in the future ever want to put a cloak over your head, ask you, how were you baptized? You can say, hallelujah, I was baptized. But how were you baptized? I was baptized in eternity through the blood of Jesus. Not in time. Our baptism is spiritual, church, not physical. Now, in the essence of baptism, because our baptism is spiritual and not physical. And by the way, baptism only means church identification. Under the law, why were they baptized? They identified with that covenant. And what was that covenant? You know the law. It was the law that God gave to Moses. So through what? Baptism. By the way, there were other baptisms. Water just what? One. But they identify with the law. Now you're moving from law to kingdom. They had water baptism where? In the kingdom as an identification that they identified with Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one that God called our Savior. Now he was still our Savior at that time even though the Bible says that, the Bible says that we were cut off from God. Understand, don't confuse actualization by God's decree in eternity from manifestation in time. In manifestation, you were cut off. I mean, you go back 2,000 years ago and you tell Peter, I want to be saved. You tell Jesus. In covenant-wise, you know, God had no what? Dealings with Gentiles. But in your actualized existence, say eternal intent. In eternal intent, you will always belong to Christ. Always. So here, in the essence of what? Of baptism, we have always baptized spiritually. How? Through our identification as being a member in the body of Christ, God chose you in eternity. Synonymous with that, he baptized you in eternity. Because anything that is physical, church, understand, if it's physical, it's not in the grace contract. Our contract is spiritual. So this is what we need to eradicate from our thinking, our cogitation, is that water baptism is what? Physical. Now, yes, I'm going to say, were you baptized? Yeah, I was baptized several times. And one, I was so determined to be saved. Some of you have been there, wearing the preacher out. Oh, he'll baptize you in the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, Jesus' name. Sometimes the preacher gets worn out. Okay, so, sister, brother, whatever other way, let's agree that right now. You're baptized, you put you down in the water. In other words, wearing the preacher out. Why? See, you cannot enter into the rest trying to what? Get saved in time. You enter into the rest to know that everything is, has already been. It's already done. So, let's move from to another area. I tell you what, let's go back to the chart. Then we can move into another area that caused a lot of confusion today. Okay? Now, let's look at number three. Notice, God's, yeah, look at number three, the three bullet. In God's placement of Israel, his elect comprise a nation. See that, church? One nation. That's, now, what's the contrast between this and the body of Christ? Go to the right. In God's placement of the church, his elect comprise those among all nations. Kingdom gospel, one nation. Grace gospel, all nations. All nations, you know, ethnic groups, Japan, Japanese, Chinese, you can say African American, Caucasian American, all these. But notice, that's just natural, what? Identity, ethnicities. In the spiritual speaking now, in the body of Christ, there are no ethnicities. There are no Jew, no Gentiles, all one in Christ. Hallelujah. All one in Christ. Jesus Christ is our what? Identification. Yes. So when we say, understand now, somebody say, you heard the terms. Oh, I go to, I attend a Chinese church or a Caucasian church or African church or, you know, they all this. Well, you know what? That's just a manifestation in ethnicity. And I'm not going to beat that up, okay? But I'm just saying, spiritual, having a spiritual mind, Paul mentioned one account in the Corinthians. He or she that are spiritual judges all things. The spiritual mind was understand that, wait a minute, there are no ethnicities in Christ. We're all one in the body of Christ. Jesus has torn down the wall of partition. Everything now is one in Christ. Go back to the chart. The fourth one on the left. Back to the chart. God's eternal plan for Israel centered in Jerusalem. Matthew 23:37. And will again center in Jerusalem during the tribulation. All of that. As well as during the millennium. Isaiah 2:1-5. Hence, God's manifested plan for the kingdom church began in Jerusalem and extended to the uttermost parts of the earth. Referencing Luke 24:4-7, Acts 1-8. The kingdom church is identified with the risen Christ in the city that comes down to earth from heaven, church. The kingdom. That's a physical place. Now let's go right. Jump to the right. Move to the right. What's the difference? Look at the grace. God's eternal plan for the grace church began in eternity and is manifest extended to the uttermost parts of the earth. inclusive of both Jews and Gentiles. Ephesians 2:1-14, Galatians 3:28-29. Today's Grace Church is identified with the risen Christ, not with any earthly city, as it is purely a spiritual entity. Church, in the kingdom gospel, Jerusalem is confined to a city. In the grace gospel, we are a spiritual entity. In the kingdom gospel, there are limitations. The abode of the kingdom recipients is confined to the earth. In the grace gospel, the abode, the recipients in the body of Christ, we are not confined to the earth. We are reside in the heavens in Christ, unconfined. Kingdom gospel, confined. Grace gospel, unconfined, unrefined. No limitations. Kingdom gospel, limitations. Grace gospel, no limitations. All in the eternity in Christ. Amen. That's wonderful. Confined to the earth. Our confinement is in what? It's not to be first of all, Jesus the head, right? We know he's the head. We are members. Well, let me ask you this. Are there any limitations to Christ? He's our Savior. He's the head. Well, we're in him. So where he is, we are. Somebody say, but Jesus way out there. Well, so are you. He's way out there beyond the solar system, beyond the universe. He's way out there. So are you. Our abode is in the heavens in Christ. My wife and I was watching. It was amazing this morning. After I finished, you know, getting things prepared, after I'd done this past 2 weeks, but they're talking about this Horizon telescope. Right now, they're talking. It's been out there in 2006. They launched this powerful satellite. What it did, they're showing. You know, right now there's a lot of controversy about Pluto being a planet. I'm not going there, but amen. I'm not going there, but I'm just saying. They show how that the goal was to take this telescope, and once it hit Jupiter, they had this precise. I mean, it was so precise to the second that the gravitational pull of Jupiter would skyrocket this satellite beyond Jupiter to the point where they could take images of Pluto. And you're talking about years and years and years of traveling. And I said, wow, that's Jesus created that. That's in him. And I look at this and I said, wait a minute. The Lord quickened this to my spirit. We know Jesus, that's all that's in him. And we are part of his body. That's way beyond the earth. Why? Because we're in the body of Christ. So in essence, our abode is not limited to the earth. And by the way, thank God for the blessing that he has for the kingdom church. Wonderful place. You know, the pillars of gold. But we know, how we've been in Sunday school. We say, oh, one day I'm going to leave here. I'm going to go to the New Jerusalem and I'll be there. All the streets of gold. Amen, amen, amen. But somebody say, will we be there? Well, let me ask you this. Will Christ be there? So we'll be there. But our abode is not focused in Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem, the body of Christ's abode is in the heavenlies in Christ. The heavenlies which are in Christ. Christ, Christ, Christ. Church, and see, if we don't have this physical mindset, we'll go through our little problems and tests and trials, and you feel that these things are going to beat you up. And God has such a great place for you, what he's done for us. In eternity, the fact that he placed you and I to be a member in his glorious body. But somebody say, you know what? I'm struggling. Well, who hasn't? Come on. So now, bear with me. I'm going to take last, say, 10, 15 minutes and do this. Cover this. Let's do this. The hope of the church is a spiritual entity. Now, since we're looking at the grace gospel and the kingdom gospel, let's look at something calls the law of God. We're going to move from the chart for a second. A lot of God's people to what? Cause a lot of turmoil in the body of Christ. And this is the area. See, understanding our God contract is spiritual. The kingdom contract primarily is physically focused. Now, if you go out there and grab something from the kingdom contract and try to pull this over to the grace, think of that red line. Stay over there. Don't move over. Don't move what Jesus said over there in the what? Kingdom gospel. Especially, in other words, church, let me say this. Just do not go to those other writings for doctrine. Stay in your gospel. Now, if you move to in those other writings for doctrine, let's take the doctrine of healing. If you just come out there and grab something and move it over here in this age, depending upon how that thing turns out, you'll be frustrated. I'm going to give you two examples of what the Lord directed Paul to write in our gospel regarding healing. Amen. Now, this is not going to draw. You're not going to get 10,000 people in a church, but it's true. It's the word of God. Let's go to, I'm going to give you an example. Deacon Gavin's going to read us two accounts of God's servants, what they were going through physically in laboring in the gospel. And let's see how God directed, what the directives are in our contract. First of all, Deacon Gavin, I want you to read Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 through 27. And for those of you who have the Bible, again, we're in the Bible now. Let's move away from the chart for a second. I want you to hold your finger there and go to Timothy chapter 5, verse 21 through 23. Again, Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 through 27. And Deacon Gavin, go to 2 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 21 through 23. Philippians 2. Okay, let's go back. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 through 27. And not for a second, but 1 Timothy. I'm sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21 through 23.
First, we're reading from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 25, from the King James first. Paul writes, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick."
He was sick. The church, I'm going real slow. A servant under the grace covenant was sick. He was sick. Now, what was the Spirit of God's directives to the Apostle Paul to write in this situation? Move on, Deacon Gavin. Keep going.
"For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me."
In the grace gospel, a servant of God was sick. Mm-hmm. And Paul acknowledged that he was sick. Mm-hmm. Keep this thought. Grace, this is the grace, and these are directives under our contract, church. Go to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5, 21 through 23. Timothy had a problem. What was Timothy's problem? All right.
1 Timothy 5, 21, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other man's sins. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities.
Church, the directions from the Holy Spirit, Paul penned this. He didn't tell Timothy, take this one time. He said, you're off infirmities. Now, whatever that was, the Bible doesn't, say, but from our medical language today, if you have a nurse, Sister Lisa, he had a proper ulcer. You know, in terms of, or some kind of, some kind of stomach ailment. Amen. There are two nurses in the, you know. Now, what's the point? Why didn't Paul go back to those kingdom writings, lay hands on the sick and they're recovered, casting out those devils? Why didn't he do that? Somebody said he didn't know. He didn't know, church. Come on. He was a student of the law. When Jesus came preaching the Messianic gospel, at that time, Saul was preaching the law. So he knew what Jesus was preaching. That's why he wanted to kill the Christians. But why didn't he do that? As directors under our contract. Understand it, because you're moving from kingdom to grace in the grace covenant. In the grace contract, some will get healed, some won't. It's all according to God. The same situation. Two God's people have the same physical ailment. Some will get healed and stay healed for another 20 years. Some God removes from the time capsule. According to God. So you go out there and pull something from the kingdom writings. Why? That what Jesus said in the kingdom was for a future age. In the future age, yes, healing would be the norm of the land. Everyone's going to get healed. But if you take this and just say, be healed, in this present evil age, church, you're going to have a lot of frustration. Let me share this with you. I mentioned this about maybe 10 years ago. We had someone that we knew that called and gave us a sad story. That this sister lived in Michigan, had a sister in Chicago that were dying from cancer. So the sister, went to one of these powerful prayer healing, thousands of people. So she gets in a prayer line. And she tells the preacher that my sister is in Chicago. She's dying. The preacher said, do you know, he referred her to Matthew, told her, sister, you go to Chicago, you lay hands on your sister, and she'll be healed. She got so excited. Oh, my sister's going to be healed. She got so excited. Spent $300+, got a plane ticket, went to Chicago. It's sad, but it lets you know what happens when you miss these messages. Lay hands on the sister. Sister, you healed. Came back to Detroit, told all the friends, all the loved ones, my sister is going to be healed. 2 months later, her sister died from cancer. And you know what? This sister ended up in a mental institution. Why? Because what happened is that you can just not pull these messages and make them applicable to today's message. I tell you what, this is what, go to 1 Thessalonians, please. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Church, everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, please. Yes,
now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, interlinear Greek text. In everything give thanks, for this will of God in Christ Jesus in regard to you.
Church, wherever you are in your life right now, it's the will of God. Everything in your life right now is according to God. And see, in life, you could be moving in one direction And a pastor would be so blessed about, he was teaching on the matrix about those frames. Every frame in your life is already placed for purpose. And whatever goes down, God could be working a frame 10 years down the road, and you have no idea what's going to transpire in that frame, but that frame is placed there according to God. And you're doing certain things, and all of a sudden the frame pops up. You say, whoa, God had that. I was blessed by Sunday school this morning in terms of the purposes of God and those things working on your behalf. And I'm going to close on this. I remember in 2010, I was finishing up my dissertation, and I was writing a section on the new way of teaching science. This is 2010 now, and I wrote a section on what we call digital animation, where kids now have, kids now love their iPads, they are very stimulated, right? And I wrote a section on that in my dissertation about digital animation. That was 2010. And the same year, it was a software company that was created I didn't know nothing about. And the company was, their model was designed out of what I was writing. And I met, in fact, Sister Cutler's cousin, who's a podiatrist, starting a company in 2010, the same year. So I've been consulting with them for the past year, but I was writing things, didn't know that there was a company out there that was created to confirm what I was writing, what the Lord calls me to write. We can't do anything apart from God. But what's the lesson here, church, is that everything in our life is according to God. Our life is according to God. Now, we have here, I'm excited, because I'm gonna be sitting down less than an hour. I'm excited. I made a statement. Less than an hour, y'all. I made a statement. And somebody got quiet, Pastor. Y'all remember, for those of you, this can be a blessing for those of you that weren't here. I made a statement. You remember about 2 months ago, I said, how many of you, I made a statement based upon your age and the percent, the lifespan being 80, and the percent of your age, that some of you are what, 70%, if your lifespan being 80. Remember that? And I thought about this. In terms of lifespan, how this life is so temporary, church. We are soon going to be out of here. And I got excited about this. Hold on now. I love data, but it's interesting. But let's bear with me. I got excited about this. If what I'm about to say, if you are thinking physicality, you're going to be depressed. But if you are thinking spirituality, you're going to be hallelujah. Lord, it's almost here. Let me give you an example. If you're looking at the baby boom generation, let's look at the baby boom generation. You hear the term all, but a lot of people don't understand this generation. Anyone born between 1946 and 64 will make up what we call the baby boom generation. This is this 18-year time period. And this is the time when we had 75 million babies born in the country. Now, here's what's interesting, church. Listen now. The youngest baby boomer now is 52. Which means that 10 years from now, the youngest baby boomer is going to be drawing Social Security. Hold on. Now, if the average lifespan is 80, and the youngest baby boomer now is 52, and let's say 10 years from now, they're 62, someone tell me, what is 62 plus 18? 80. What are we saying, church, is that the average lifespan is 80. That means the youngest baby boomer will be 62 in 10 years. That means that add 18 to that, let's say 30. In 30 years, the youngest baby boomer is going to be 80, which is the lifespan, which means the youngest baby boomer is going to what? Be out of the time capsule. Now, we know some people can be living longer than that. Some can be living to be 100. But let's look at an average, church. What's the point? The point is this. The baby boom generation has been really, God calls this generation to be really a blessing to this country. What happens when this generation is gone? If the baby boomers are out of here, what about the baby boomer parents? We are living in a time where the baby boomer parents are, the Bible says, kicking the dust, biting the dust. This is a term they use for out of here. Church, my point is this. We're almost out of here, church. Think about this. Think about this, church. Again, I'm not predicting no future, but I'm just saying, in 30 years, If you're losing the baby boomers out of here and the baby boomer parents out of here, this country could be a total different country in 30 years. And what's the point? Somebody said, there's an answer. What's the answer? Oh, immigration. Are you kidding? They trying to fight over a few people come across the border. What do you think they're going to do with hundreds of 100 million plus? The whole idea is that church, we're out of here. The Bible tells us for I reckon that the sufferings of this present evil age is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. But somebody say 30 years is a long. Are you kidding? I remember, Pastor, I was a rookie teacher in 1972. It was like yesterday. How many years is that, church? 30 years is what? No time. And in 30 years, most of us won't be here. Now, I know we have the generation answers. You know, I'm not picking a young generation. But I'm just saying, in 30 years, we baby boomers are not going to be here. We're going to be out of here. Glorified in eternity. Glorified. We shall be glorified. We were glorified in time. But very soon, one day, Sister Veronica had the oxygen issues for 20 years. Hallelujah. Today, she's now where she's always been. No more oxygen. Hallelujah. No more oxygen. Hallelujah. No more going to the doctor 3 times a week. No, none of that. None of that. Sister Veronica is where she's always have been. And that is in Christ. So church, as we move through the matrix, understand that some things you may not understand everything, but God got your back. God got your back. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So don't focus on time. Focus on eternity. That's why the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God.
Hallelujah.